Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Down Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvachakcharya Astutosita Shishimad. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kijai. Down Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvachakcharya Asto Tarasata Sushimad, Sringa Guru Shia Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jam Vishnupad, hold on a second here. Okay. Jam Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Paravajak Charya, Asto Tarasata Sushimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsiko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mayapur Dham Kijai Navadvip Dham Kijai Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Kijai Jamuna Maya Ganga Maya Kijai New Dwarka Dham Kijai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Srimati Subhadra Kijai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Yoga Ki Jai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to all the Sema devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sema devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sema devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the third canto, chapter 1, text number 20. And today's topic will be the Eka Chakram, Eka Atapatram, which means one military force and one flag. And this is all by the mercy of the unconquerable Krishna, which is Ajitena. So we'll get right into the Itam Rajan Bharatam Eva Varsham. Itam Rajan Bharatam Eva Varsham. Kalena Yavad Gatavan Prabhasham. Kalena Yavar Gatavan Prabhasham. Tavach Chasasa Chitim Ekachakram. Tavach Chasasa Chitim Ekachakram. Ekatapatram. Ajitena Partha Ekatapatram Ajitena Partha. Itam Brajan Bharatam Eva Varsham. Kalena Yavad Gatavan Prabhasam. Tavachcha sasaksitam eka chakram. Ekata patram ajitena parta. Itam brajam bharatam eva varsham kalena yavarkatavan prabhasham tavachcha sasaksitim ekachakram ekata patram ajitena parta Itam brajan bharatam eva varsham kalena yavarkatavan prabhasham tavachcha sasaksitim ekachakram ekata patram ajitena parta Gatavan Prabhasham Tavach Chasasa Chitimeka Chakram Ekata Patram Ajitena Parta Vaishnavis Itambarjan Bharatameva Varsham Kalena yavad gatavan prabhasham Tavach chasasa chitameka chakram Ekata patram ajitena parta Itamba jambada tameva varsham Kalena yavargatavan prabhasam Tavach chasasa chitimeka chakram Ekata patram ajitena parta Itambrajan bharatam eva varsham Kalena yavarkatavan prabhasham Tavach chasasak chitameka chakram Ekata patram ajitena parta Anyone else? Okay. Itam. Like this. Rajan. While traveling, Bharatam, India, Eva, only, Varsham, the tract of land, Kalena, in due course of time, Yavat, when, Gatavan, visited, Prabhasam, the Prabhasa pilgrimage site. Tavat, at that time, Sasasa ruled Chitim, the world, Ekachakram, by one military force, Eka, one, Atapatram, flag, Ajitena, by the mercy of the unconquerable Krishna. Partha, Maharaj Yudhisthira. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, when he was in the land of Bharatavarsha, traveling to all the places of pilgrimage, he visited Prabhasakshetra. At that time, Mars Yudhisthira was the emperor and held the world under one military strength and one flag. Please repeat. Thus, when he was in the land of Bhartavarsha, traveling to all the places of pilgrimage, he visited Prabhasakshetra. At that time, Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor and held the world under one military strength and one flag. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. More than 5,000 years ago, while Saint Vidura was traveling the earth as a pilgrim, India was known as Bhartavarsha, as it is known even today. The history of the world cannot give any systematic account for more than 3,000 years into the past. But before that, the whole world was under the flag and military strength of Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was the emperor of the world. At present, there are hundreds and thousands of flags flapping in the United Nations. But during the time of Vidura, there was, by the grace of Ajita, Lord Krishna, only one flag. The nations of the world are very eager to again have one state under one flag. But for this, they must seek the favor of Lord Krishna, who alone can help us become one worldwide nation. Om Gyana Timadanda Syag and Anjana Salakaya Chakshusun Vaitamina Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamina Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mancha Kopa, Tubhischa, Kripasin, Dubhivacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Thus, when he was in the land of Bhartavarsha, traveling to all the places of pilgrimage, he visited Prabhasakshetra. At that time, Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor and held the world under one military strength and one flag. So it's interesting how he, from the word Eka Chakram, means one military strength. It's like the chakra. So, and then also the Eka Atapatram, which means the one flag. So getting back to this picture here, it's very interesting. We see Maharaj Parikshit at the lotus feet of Krishna. And this is how, this is the secret. It explains everything, how one can have one flag, one nation under God. So there's an interesting purport Srila Prabhupada gives. And this is from a lecture in Los Angeles he gave here in 1973. So he's talking about Parikshit Maharaj, but this applies to Yudhisthira Maharaj also, how he's not an ordinary person. He said he was a Mahabhagavata. Mahim Mahabhagavata Sasha ruled over a great devotee. He was a great devotee. It does not mean a great devotee is simply engaged in chanting Hare Krishna mantra. No, a great devotee may be the chief of the executive function of the state. He can become. That is required. Not that only Mahabhagavata required in church or temples. No, Mahabhagavata required also as the head of the chief executive function. That is also required. Otherwise, how people will be happy? Every field there must be Mahabhagavata. So my Guru Maharaj used to say that when we shall see the high court judges, our devotees of Krishna, then our preaching will be somewhat forward. So that is the aim of the Krishna consciousness movement, that everyone, at least those who are ruling, those who are in the executive function, they must be all Mahabhagavata. Under them, everyone should be ruled. Then people will be happy because they will never do anything unjustly. Their only desire is, Mahabhagavata is how to give relief to the suffering humanity. That is Mahabhagavata. So that's Prabhupada said about that. So we see Vidura was in his brother's royal palace. This is Dhritarashtra's palace. And so what happened? He tried to give him good instructions, but they insulted him and said, "Who asked you to come here, son of a kept maidservant? Kick him out and leave him only with his breath." So that's what he did. He just left. And he was grateful, actually, for the blessings of Duryodhana. Just like when Lakshman was told to go out into the, live into the forest. Ram was told. Lakshman became kind of disturbed and said, "Oh, that's terrible." And Ram said, "No, that's not terrible. That's a great opportunity." So he saw the best, out of a supposedly bad situation, he could see it in a good light. So he said, "No, it's an opportunity to see the beauty of nature. We get so caught up in our management and administrations that we don't have time. And then we can associate with the sages in the forest." So this is exactly what Vidura did. He actually met the great sage Maitreya, and they discussed many topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's interesting, he left the palace right before the Kukshetra war. And many people tried to stop this war, Vidura himself. And even Maitreya himself tried to stop the war. He told Duryodhana, "Don't do this." And he refused. So actually Maitreya cursed him, that because you are disobeying me, you will die in the battlefield. But not only Maitreya, but even Bhishmadev tried to tell him. Even Bhishmadev's mother, what's her name, Gandhari, she tried to tell him, and he still wouldn't listen. And what to speak of, Krishna came. He tried to persuade him not to fight, and he tried to capture Krishna, tried to arrest him, because he was thinking he's an ordinary person. So just see, they think that spiritual reality is insignificant. Like maybe Krishna comes as a little fish. Oh, it's so insignificant, but he becomes a big fish. Or he comes as a tortoise, or it comes in different forms. We think, oh, it's insignificant. Like, that's how materialistic people see, like Duryodhana. But even Krishna comes as the deity. We can't think of it as insignificant. But this is actually spiritual reality. So this is the association we get with devotees. Because Duryodhana didn't want to take advantage of such a great soul, then he was finished. There was a story I heard from Satchinandana Maharaj. He was talking about a sadhu who was very famous as a problem solver. And many people from many villages around would come with all their problems listed, to bring to the sadhu. So they came and they all gathered. And he said, "First, let's just sit and let's chant and sing for a while." So they started singing the Maha Mantra, chanting Hare Krishna. And then afterwards, they start getting up and chanting, dancing, and everything. And so then he looked around and sat down and said, "I think I've answered all your questions." And then they all agreed, "Yes, we don't have any problems." So this is association of a pure devotee. We have no problems. But if we leave their association, then they come back, right? So as soon as we get away from their association, I should have asked him about this. I should have asked him about that. So we have to see that this mind is very intimately attached to these materialistic objects. So we'll talk about that a little bit. So here's another example of Eka Chakra, one who had one military force. And this was King Prithu, and you see his queen Archie there. And it's described in a verse in the fourth canto. It says, "Just as a sun god expands his shining rays up to the Arctic region without impedance, the influence of King Prithu will cover all tracts of land up to the Arctic region and will remain undisturbed as long as he lives. So just see, his influence was like the sun, like a chakra, very powerful. And wherever the sun shines, no one can impede it. So in the same way, no one could check the influence of the reign of King Prithu or Maharaj Yudhisthira or Parikshit Maharaj like that. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that the sunshine and the sun god cannot be separated, nor could King Prithu and his ruling strength be separated. His rule over everyone would continue without disturbance. Thus the king could not be separated from his ruling power. So that's one example. And then we have another example of the responsibility of those who have that powerful force, who have that chakra. So this is in the second canto. There's a description of Parshuram. And this is when they were turning astray. And Parshuram wanted to uproot all these unwanted kings because they were like thorns in the earth. So 3 times 7, he uprooted the Kshatriyas with his chopper there, you can see. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely the responsibility of these rulers. He said, the Kshatriyas are ruling administrators of any part of the universe, either on this planet or on other planets, are factually the representatives of the almighty personality of Godhead. And they are meant to lead the subjects toward the path of God realization. Every state and its administrators, regardless of the nature of the administration, monarchy or democracy, oligarchy or dictatorship or autocracy, have the prime responsibility to lead the citizens toward God realization. This is essential for all human beings, and it is the duty of the father, spiritual master, and ultimately the state to take up the responsibility of leading the citizens towards this end. The whole creation of material existence is made for this purpose, just to give a chance to the fallen souls who rebelled against the will of the Supreme Father and thus become conditioned by material nature. The force of material nature gradually leads one to a hellish condition of perpetual pains and miseries. Those going against the prescribed rules and regulations of conditioned life are called Brahmojita Patas, are persons going against the path of the absolute truth, and they are liable to be punished. Lord Parshuram, the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, appeared in such a state of worldly affairs and killed all the miscreant kings 21 times. So this is what happens when the kings are administrators. Even now, similarly, they could be chastised whenever they become godless and plan a godless civilization, because this is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here's another example we see of, as far as chakra represents time, which destroys everybody, or also as protection, like the Sudarshan chakra of Krishna. And you can see how he kills the demons. So this is from the sixth canto, and this is where Narada Muni was given an analogy, or he was given like a riddle to the Haryasvas. And he was telling them how, there's object made of sharp blades and thunderbolts. And this is what they understood it to be. It was eternal time moves very sharply as if made of razors and thunderbolts. Uninterrupted and fully independent, it drives the activities of the entire world. If one does not try to study the eternal element of time, what benefit can he derive from the performing temporary material activities? So that's the verse. And then the purport there, Prabhupada's talking the importance of time. Even a moment of one's lifetime could not be returned in exchange for millions of dollars. Therefore, one should consider how much loss one suffers if he wastes even a moment of his life for nothing. Living like an animal, not understanding the goal of life, One foolishly thinks that there is no eternity and that his lifespan of 50, 60, or at the most 100 years is everything. This is the greatest foolishness. Time is eternal, and in the material world, one possesses through different phases of his eternal life. Time is compared herein to a sharp razor. A razor is meant to shave the hair from one's face, but if not carefully handled, the razor will cause disaster. One is advised not to create a disaster by misusing his lifetime. One should become extremely careful to utilize the span of his life for spiritual realization or Krishna consciousness. So this is that chakra. It's very powerful. You know, there's a ruling power, and this is ruling power of Krishna in this material world. It'll destroy everything. So we have to understand that power and utilize it properly. So for protection, there's a Narayan Kavacha, and there's a nice prayer to the Sudarsana Chakra. And this is the verse. Set in motion by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and wandering in all four directions, the disc of the Supreme Lord has sharp edges, as destructive as the fire of devastation at the end of the millennium. As a blazing fire burns dry grass to ashes with the assistance of the breeze, may the Sudarsana Chakra burn our enemies to ashes. So this is so we could get that power, that protection from Krishna. So we talked about the chakra, one chakra. Now let's talk about the flag. And there's this, our favorite analogy is the chariot, you know, which represents the body, and the horses represent the senses, the reins, the mind. And there's so many different things on that chariot that we can relate to. And so in the fourth canto, there's a really nice section where Narada Muni is preaching to King Prakrutini Varisha, talking about Paranjana. And he's given this analogy. So actually this chariot has flags. And you know what the flags represent on the chariot? As far as us, it represents the three modes of material nature, the flags, and that's how it affects us there. So we see that the chariot is also moving day after day, week after month, you know, month after month, year after year. We become entangled in this chariot's progress. And the chariot rests on these two wheels, which are, anybody remember? The wheels represent pious and impious activities. So we attain a certain position in life, a particular body, according to our pious and impious activities. But this transmigration into different bodies is not progress. It's not the progress of the chariot. But actually, real progress means to get out of this birth and death. We're wandering throughout this universe, different species of life, up and down, but that's not real progress. Real progress means that we want to get out of this material world altogether. Let's see here. So the chariot is actually itself is made up of three gunas, the three qualities of material nature. And this body is given to us by nature. And we know that the driver of the body is actually the Paramatma, the Supersoul. And the living entity is seated on the chariot. And that's our actual position. But we're being bewildered by these three modes of material nature. And we're running around for something temporary in the material world. So this body indicates that we're already influenced by the three modes of material nature. And it's driving us to enjoy the material resources. So this is that intimate connection that we have. We're linked. So we can see that. So Prabhupada mentions here in this one of these purports that the entire world is going on because a living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is utilizing the material energy under the clutches of the material energy. So we're clutched by it. The jivatma is revolving on the wheel of birth and death, under the direction of the Supreme Personality guided, but the central point is the super soul. So this is an interesting, is also brought up all throughout the Bhagavatam. And then 11th canto, there's the incarnation of the Hamsa incarnation. And he appeared because the four Kumaras asked Lord Brahma this question about this mind enters the sense objects and the sense objects enter the mind by our desire. That's how the desire enters into the sense objects. And then the sense objects enter the mind. So he's asking Lord Brahma, so how can we destroy this intimate relationship of the mind with the sense objects? So Lord Brahma was thinking about it and he couldn't actually answer the question because he was so involved in the creative energy and doing this creation for the material world, he couldn't answer that question. So he meditated on the Supreme Lord and the Lord appeared at Hamsa and basically gave three answers to the question. Is that, first of all, we have to see all these sense objects as Krishna's energy. Everything is Krishna's energy. And then if we see that, then we'll see, oh, this is actually for Krishna. This is not for me. This is owned by someone else. And then the second answer he gave was that you have to understand you're not this body. You're a spirit soul. So we're not even part of this world. We're spiritual energy. We belong to that spiritual energy. And then also, the third answer he gave is that we have to fix our mind on Krishna. So these are the three keys how to break this intimate relationship that we have, this chariot of the body attached to these senses and sense objects. So there's a nice prayer by Prahlad Maharaj when he was trying to pacify Lord Nrisingadev. And this is what he said. O my Lord Nrisinga, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and able to chant the glories of your lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nescience. So here again, confirmation by Prahlad Maharaj. So if we just follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas, you know, so their associates, the hamsas, the paramahamsas, then we completely get free from this material contamination. So this is how we can make our life successful. Otherwise, it's practically impossible. You know, we may say that we become an advanced in spiritual life. It involves tapasya. Yeah, we have to accept some voluntary inconvenience. But actually, this inconvenience is not as dangerous as the material attempts to mitigate the miseries. But this is actually how you do it. And then continuing those prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, going ahead in a few verses, he says here, O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus, the mind entraps the living entity on unlimited varieties of desires. So to see the desires is what is binding us to these objects. Variety of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karmakanda, fruitive activity, and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet? So this is our process. Like we saw Yudhisthira Maharaj at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's why he had that eka chakram, that able to have one flag. And here in the purport, it's described here. The fallen conditioned living entity trapped by the external energy lorders in the material world, but by good fortune he meets a bona fide representative of the Lord who gives him the seed of devotional service. And if he takes advantage of such a guru or representative of God, he receives the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotional service. If he properly cultivates Krishna consciousness, he is then gradually elevated to the spiritual world. The ultimate conclusion is that one must surrender to the principles of bhakti yoga, and then one will attain or gradually attain liberation. No other method of liberation from the material struggle is possible. So that's that. So if we associate with the devotees, even if you're a demon, it's described that you will actually become a devotee. And that's proved in the pastime with, I think it was Bali Maharaj, yeah. That it says, this is a verse that says, because there you will see my supreme prowess, when he gave him his planet. Your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and Danavas will immediately be vanquished. So this is the association of the devotees. That's how a demon can become a devotee. So talking about flags, Prabhupada mentions the United Nations. We see all these flags. And there's a very nice article that where Prabhupada's speaking out. And he's talking about people living like hogs and dogs. So this is Prabhupada speaking. Yes, but actually it is a fact. People today are no different from some dogs barking. I'm a bulldog. I'm a terrier. I'm a collie. I'm a Greek. I'm a Frenchman. I'm a Swede. And with this misunderstanding of who they are, they waste so much energy and money and time simply for barking about this or that bodily concern. The result of all this barking is nothing. No United Nations. Rather, every other day sees the appearance of some new national flag. Badam Udvato Vimudhan. They have made a big bombastic arrangement for unity, but the result is nothing. These rascals, they are simply making a big, big arrangement. The result is nothing. And despite their obvious failure, they are determined to remain rascals. Oh, the United Nations, what a gorgeous attempt we're making toward unity. Of course, we have no unity, but our building is adorned by 300,000 flags. The problem is, they're offering their obeisances to their flag, not to God. Krishna says, Mam Namaskuru. All of you are in fact spiritual beings, so be happy by offering your obeisances to me. But they're thinking, no, flag Namaskuru. We must offer obeisances to a flag. Just see what rascals they are. What would they gain by offering obeisances to some flag? So here's another nice lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles. I'd like to share with you. Prabhupada says, Mahim means this earthly planet. So up to Maharaj Parikshit, 5,000 years ago, the whole world was being ruled over by one king, one emperor. There were not so many nations, and not so many presidents, simply one king. Mahim, this world. Mahim means the earthly planet. This is the history. From Mahabharata, we understand that the whole world was under one flag. These Pandavas, they were the ones. Now, United Nations means 3,000 flags, 3,000 nations. So that is not democracy, or that is not good ruling. The best ruling is monarchy. And monarch means he must be a perfectly trained up person by the best brahmanas. That is perfect government. Not that this democracy, some rascal and fools, they're voting another rascal and fool, and by hook and crook, he comes to the post. He does not like to give it up. He makes things very miserable. This kind of government. Now your Senate is proposing, let us pray to God how we can get good government. They're coming down again. But why not train? Now you're going to pray to God. Please give us good government. Why don't you elect a person, a Mahabhagavata? That is Krishna consciousness movement. That people, you become devotees, Bhagavata, and you select one Mahabhagavata to be your ruler. Then you'll be happy. So this is Prabhupada saying how this all problems of society can be solved by this movement. And so let's see, I'll just go to the next slide since we're not out of time here. And he says how this only solution is to push the Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, there will just be anxieties, great anxieties. And it doesn't matter what religion you are, you know, just take up to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there will be doom, he said. It's just a decoration of a dead body. That's all that's happening. So now is the time, he said. So he said, now you've got the United Nations. Now if they're a sane man, they should pass a resolution. The whole world belongs to God, and we're all God's sons. So let us now make the United Nations of the world. That can be done easily. If they can't make United States of America, why not United States of the whole world? So Prabhupada goes on and gives some interesting examples. But because they're atheistic, they don't think they need God. So this is, Prabhupada mentions, United Nations under what? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's flag. And do it everywhere. He said it's possible. So Brahmananda saying, you said that when you first came to New York, you went to the United Nations. So Prabhupada actually went to the United Nations and he chanted. He was like, what do they call those people? They go up and stand up against people. Protesters, yes. So Prabhupada was protesting the United States. And he actually went there and sat there and he gave a peace vigil. So this is written in Mukunda Maharaj's book. He talks about this. There was this lawyer named Stephen Goldsmith. He's the one that incorporated ISKCON for Prabhupada. So he asked Prabhupada a question. He said, if God is so kind, why is he always allowing many of our American boys to be killed in Vietnam? So this was an interesting question, but Srila Prabhupada didn't hesitate. He just looked right at him and he said, you're daily killing so many animals. So God is saying, send your sons to the slaughterhouse. So this question by this Stephen Goldsmith was symptomatic of millions of Americans. Anti-Vietnam War, they were showing demonstrations, they were burning flags, burning their draft cards, so many things, so many protests. So this is a very possibility of being drafted into the Vietnam War. So when the word got out, so here's what Mukunda Maharaj says. So when the word got out that the Swami was going to conduct a peace vigil at the United Nations headquarters in Manhattan, it was an exciting proposal for me and the other men in the Swami group. I thought it would be a fun summer outing with the Swami, a kind of spiritual protest and a way for us to get out and do something a little bit different. So at 6:30 in the morning, August 31st, 12 of them assembled with the Swami on First Avenue near 42nd Street. It was the first time Jan and I had seen the Swami engage in what seemed like social protest or a demonstration of any kind. He didn't seem to be into the peace movement per se, but he knew we were young, available for conscription, and that most of us thought it was morally wrong for a country to go to Vietnam. We began to chant opposite the United Nations Secretariat, the towering glass and steel structure near 46th Street. So they chanted for 4 hours there. And then after a while, these men with suits came out and they told them that you have to do it in silent prayer. So then they just chanted softly there. And then Prabhupada was preaching about how everything belongs to God, the earth belongs to God, but everyone's claiming it to be theirs. So you have to change your consciousness to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So then there was an article written and Srila Prabhupada was happy that his efforts were noticed. So look at his efforts now. Rath Yatras all over the world. Prabhupada doing demonstrations and so many things happening with showing the one flag of Lord Chaitanya. So here we have the Eka Chakra and the Eka Atrapatram. We have one chakra, one flag, right above us here in this temple. We see the other flags there, but they represent ourselves. Individuality we are. Yet we're under the one flag of Lord Chaitanya in his Sankirtan movement, the ISKCON flag. So it's just like, even though they said Yudhishthira ran the world under one flag, actually Yudhishthira had his own flag on his chariot. You know what it looked like? It had a golden moon and had planets around it. And Bhima had a flag on his chariot, and there was a silver, gigantic lion. It was in silver, and it was made with lapis lazuli. And Nakula's chariot had a saraba. You know what a saraba is? It's a part lion and part bird beast. It's very powerful. It's supposed to be very powerful. And it's more powerful than a lion or an elephant. And it has the ability to clear a valley like in one jump. So this is the power. So they had many other flags. You can see it's in the Mahabharata. It's described in the Drona Parva, chapter 23. It's described there. But I'd like to just end with this. We have the Jayapataka, the victory flag. And Jayapataka Maharaj wrote a nice Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada. And he says, this is what he says, the Jayapataka victory flag without your divine grace is dead, like a flag without a pole. Only by your divine grace may this most fallen of fallen souls unfurl amongst the Vaishnavas to serve them as Krishna's Jayapataka. So that unfurl, that word he used, is it's like, you know, the flag is curled up, so the wind unfurls it. So this is what we become unfurled by the sound of Srila Prabhupada giving us his nectarian words of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because where the pure devotees live and the rules and regulations followed, then that place, we get to hear that constant flow. It's like nectar, like the waves of a river or like the wind. So, and then we forget the miseries of material life for hunger or thirst. This is what happened to Pariksit Maharaj. So in a purport there to one of this, in the fourth canto, it says there, if one gets the chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing the constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouths of the pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. When one is engaged in constantly hearing the glories of the Lord, he certainly rises above the bodily conception. When one is in the bodily conception, he feels the pangs of hunger and thirst, fear, lamentation, and illusion. But when one is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he transcends the bodily conception. So this is our victory. This is our Jayapataka, how we become victorious in this, with this flag of the body, to actually surrender to the transcendental messages that are like flapping from the flags of the holy names of Krishna under Lord Chaitanya's flag of the ISKCON movement. So that's our Eka Chakram and Eka Atpatram. One military force, one flag. By what? By the mercy of Ajitena, the mercy of the unconquerable Krishna. Jai. So thank you for your kind attention. Sorry, went over, but anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, Mother. Thank you.
Point that was brought up yesterday, maybe you can shed some light on it, because it was talking, devotees were talking about, you know, when Vidura left the palace and he went on pilgrimage, and why he didn't go and personally meet with Krishna when, and instead go to see the different deities of Krishna. But as I understand, all the deities that we know of Krishna were installed by Krishna's great-grandson, Bhadrana, after Krishna had left. And before that, we would have probably had, you know, all the previous avatars and their tirthas and the holy tirthas of Ganga and things like that. So I just wanted to see what's your thoughts on that.
Is it a question or just can you?
No, it's just to see what light you could shed on that, because I think that you won't find that there were temples to Krishna previous to Krishna's appearance.
Oh, there was no temples previous to Krishna?
I don't think so. There would be of the avatars of Krishna, like Nisringa, Vamana, Varaha, and all different. But Krishna himself when he appeared 5,000 years ago and then he left, after that, the deities were installed of Krishna. Mm.
Krishna himself had deities. Hmm? Krishna himself had deities. Well, you know, he had deities. I think, wasn't there a deity of his parents even? I think there was something, I remember. Something like that. I can't remember. But I think there was deities since time immemorial.
I'm not saying there weren't deities, but there weren't deities of Krishna.
Oh, deities of Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. Yeah, maybe you have some insight. Oh, okay.
Because we hear that in Dwarpa Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is deity worship.
Yeah.
So.
And also they say deity is in the form of the mind also. You can imagine the form of the mind. So previous age, they would meditate on Krishna in the mind. So that was a deity.
This is just a speculation. Yeah. But I know like even like in Goloka Vrindavan, even like they worship a deity of Narayan. They worship Vishnu.
In Goloka? So
that, yeah. Really? That is not a speculation. That's they for sure do that. But
really?
My speculation is that perhaps those were deities of Vishnu that Vidura was visiting, but I'm not sure.
Okay. But they're not ordinary, that's for sure. Don't take them as insignificant. They're very powerful. Very powerful. You may think it's just a little rock or made out of stone, but it's Krishna. It's powerful. Yes, Prabhu, did you have something? Oh, I thought your hand went up. Okay, well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.